From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love We're Finding. Carrie, today we pick up with part two of Adrian Rogers, The Gospel According to Joseph. In Genesis chapter 45 is where we'll start. And you know, as we talked about last time, here we see Joseph being a man of integrity, following God with all his heart, and yet some pretty bad things happen to him.
Absolutely. And I tell you, one thing I love about this story is that everybody else saw the God in Joseph, right? Potiphar saw it. Potiphar's wife saw it. The baker and the butcher in the prison saw it. Everybody saw the God in Joseph. And I often wonder, do people see the God in me?
Wow. And you know, this is a perfect illustration of the gospel of Jesus. And that's another reason why I love this story, as we talk about God's love is greater than all of our sin.
Amen. And I think Joseph lived his life, as you said, integrity. He lived it above reproach, and he lived it in a way that was Christ-honoring. And then we're going to see this in the chapter 45, part of this message today, even to the point of forgiveness, which really goes back to what you said, Byron. It's the beautiful picture of Christ and the redemption story.
Well, it asks this big question to all of us. Do you communicate your faith in Jesus Christ with others by your love, by your lips, and your life?
Right, by your actions, right? You can tell me you love me, but do you show me that you love me and in a way that you will forgive me and love me anyways? And that's what we see in the life of Joseph.
Well, Carrie, this listener from North Carolina says, I wish you all could know how much your program means to me. I've been a widow since 1999, and I am truly blessed with your wonderful program. God is so good to me and has been all of my life. Thank you so much for being a part of my life. And you know, again, Scripture tells us to take care of widows and orphans. And what a blessing to know that we have this sweet lady, and she represents many who are, you know, trusting God, have lost their spouses, you know, to heaven, and yet they're finding strength and encouragement here on Love We're Finding.
That's exactly right. Many who call in, or they write in, or they email in, and hey, that's our fruit. That's how we measure the ministry, right? We measure the ministry on that type of feedback. And so it blesses my heart when we hear from our people and know that through Christ and by Christ, we are making a difference.
Well, Carrie, in addition to the radio broadcast that's going out right now, we have some resources available at lwf.org that I think our friends need to go to. I mean, there's help in all kinds of categories and in walks of life, whether you're a widow or whether you're a new believer in Jesus Christ.
Right. Hey, go to the search engine at the website. Type in any topic in the subject matter line, and every outline, sermon, you name it, pops up. What a great, great tool to use.
Let's also don't forget that this month, free shipping on all online orders.
Right. Take advantage of that, right? Free is the key word. Don't waste any time. Buy things for you. Buy things for coworkers, your family, friends. Let's get it out into the hands of people because they can use it.
Well, with part two of The Gospel According to Joseph, here's Adrian Rogers.
Now, what we're studying today from the book of Genesis, listen to me, it happened 25 centuries ago. But it is just as fresh baked bread for breakfast. I want you to listen now to what God says about salvation, because in this chapter, we're going to see a glorious and a wonderful illustration of salvation. God wants to save so much that he gives us many, many illustrations. And the life of Joseph is a picture, a prophecy, a portrait of Jesus who is to come. What a confirmation, an affirmation of the inspiration of the Word of God when we see these word pictures and portraits tucked away in the Old Testament. As we've already told you, Joseph's life could be put into four major categories. But now we're going to come again and see Joseph, not only the beloved son, not only the suffering servant, not only the exalted sovereign, but Joseph, the seeking Savior. We're going to find out how Joseph sought and brought, forgave, restored, and fellowshipped his brothers. And as we see that, we're going to see seven salvation similarities. Now, here is Joseph now and his brothers who have wronged him, who have sinned against him, indescribably wicked brothers, are now standing before Joseph, the exalted sovereign. Look, if you will, in Genesis 45, verse 1. Now, here are the brothers. They don't know that Joseph is Joseph. He's dressed like an Egyptian. He's speaking Egyptian language. He's on the throne. He's not the little boy, 17 years old, that they'd thrown into a pit 25 years ago. The times have come and gone. There's Joseph now on the throne. They can't recognize Joseph. They don't expect to see him where he is, but Joseph loves them, and Joseph wants to restore them, forgive them, fellowship them, and commission them. Now, what a picture of our salvation. All right, there's seven salvation similarities, I hope, and I'm going to call them principles. The first is the principle of compassion. The principle of compassion. Now, in order for us to be saved, God must reveal Himself to us. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. We love Him because He first loved us, and He reveals Himself to us. Now, Joseph had been giving his brothers a hard time. I mean, he acted roughly toward them. As a matter of fact, go back to Genesis 42, verse 7, and look at it. And Joseph saw his brethren and knew them, but made himself strange unto them. That is, he didn't reveal himself to them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence came ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Now he says, "No, you're just spies. I know you're spies." And he's speaking roughly to them, and he's jerking them around. Well, why did he do that? Because he didn't love them? No. Because he did love them. In that same 42nd chapter where we read in verse 7 where he spoke roughly to them, go on down to verse 24 and look at it. And he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again. Over here, here he is speaking roughly to his brothers and bringing them under conviction. Then he excuses himself. He goes out and he weeps and he cries. Then he goes back and speaks roughly to them. Listen, friend, learn this about God. God in love causes us problems. Are you having troubles? Is there pain in your life? There is. That is the silken cord that He is using to draw you to Himself. He loves you. No matter what the appearances may seem, I'm telling you that God loves you, and God's love is greater than all of our sin. Second principle, the principle of conviction. No one is truly saved apart from the conviction of sin. Now, notice what he is doing with these boys. He brings them to a point where they are in great conviction. Notice verse 3, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence." One translation gives it, they were terrified. And well, they might be. Another said they were afraid. Another translation that I read said they were stunned. Well, why should they not be? Joseph was the one that they had treated so dreadfully, so hatefully, so hellishly, so awfully. They had misused, abused, refused Joseph. And now here he is, the one with absolute authority, the one who could put them to death if he wished. And they're in his hands, and now they tremble at his presence. Have you ever said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Have you ever seen yourself under the conviction of sin? Now, folks, you can admit that you're wrong and never really be convicted of sin. A court may convict me of crimes. Conscience may convict me of wrongdoing, but only the Holy Spirit of God can truly convict of sin. People join churches like they join a country club, like they're doing God a wild favor. They have never seen themselves as sinners in the sight of a righteous and a holy God. What is the principle, the salvation principle that we have here? It's the principle of conviction. Conviction. You must be convicted of sin in order to be saved. Now, here's the third principle. It's the principle of conversion. His compassion causes Him to love you, even if it seems He's treating you roughly. This is meant to bring you to conviction of sin, and then the principle of conversion. And what is the principle of conversion? In order to be saved, we must come to Him yielding to His lordship. Now, begin now in verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. How are we saved? Well, you know Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, what does that verse tell us? First of all, the Bible tells us that it is by, are you listening, by grace. Now, what is Joseph saying to his brothers? Look, all of this is the grace of God. You sold me into slavery. As far as you're concerned, I was as good as dead. But God had a purpose. While we were sinners, God loved us. God loved you boys so much. Even while you were doing all of this wickedness, God was working behind the scenes to make me a Savior. It is sheer grace. God did it, and He is now emphasizing the grace of God. He is not minimizing the sin. He is emphasizing God's grace. Calvary was the greatest tragedy in man's dealings with God, but God's greatest triumph in God's dealings with man. When they misused and abused Joseph, that was wickedness. But over it all and behind it all was God working it all together for His glory. Calvary, the greatest tragedy this world has ever known, was God's greatest victory when Jesus, God the mighty Maker, died for man, the creature. Now, if you're not a Christian today, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is not now a baby in a manger, nor is Jesus a man nailed to a cross. He is the exalted King of kings and Lord of lords. And how do you come to Him? You come to Him by grace. You come through faith. You come unto good works to bow the knee to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the next principle. And this is principle number four of these seven salvation principles that you're going to find tucked away here. It is the principle of confession. Confession. First of all, His compassion. Secondly, our conviction. Thirdly, our conversion, and now our confession. Once we give our hearts to our Lord, then it's our job to confess Him openly and publicly. Begin now in verse 9. Here's what Joseph says to his brothers, haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast, and there I will nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Now, what is the lesson here? Well, Joseph says, look, I have forgiven you and I've restored you. Now, there are others that I want to bring to my glory. And I am commissioning you now, and I am commanding you now that you are to confess me to them. You see, in verse 4, he says, come. But now look in verse 9. In verse 9, he says, go. May I tell you that all of the gospel can be summed up in these two phrases? Come unto me, go ye into all the world. That's it. Come, he says. Come to me. They came. He said, all right, now go and tell others. What right do we have to call ourselves children of God if we fail to obey Him? Our Lord has given us a great commission. We're to go into all the world and share the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know you can't spell the word gospel without beginning G-O? Listen, we're to go. We're to go. To say that all Christians are missionaries is just another way of saying all Christians are Christians. What were they to share? What was the message they were to share? Here's what the message was. Number one, we once rejected Him. Number two, God has raised Him up on high. Number three, He has a name that is above every name. Number four, the world is now at His feet. Number five, He is the fairest of 10,000. Number six, He has forgiven all of our sins. Number seven, He wants us to be with Him and to share His glory. That's what they were to tell about Joseph, and that's what we're to tell about Jesus. Now, here's the next salvation principle, and it's the principle of communion. And what is the principle of communion? You have been redeemed, and you have been forgiven, and you have been commissioned to fellowship with your King. Look in verses 14 and 15 now of this chapter. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Reminds you so much of the father and the prodigal son, doesn't it? And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with them. Can you imagine this scene? I mean, look, folks, use your imagination. This is not a fairy tale. Here's Joseph. They're terrified. He says, come on, come to me. And they come, and he forgives them, and he says, look, it's all by the grace of God. God meant it for your good. God sent me to be your deliverer. Come to me. Now, go tell others what you've seen, what you've heard, that I am risen, I am reigning, I am rich. Go tell the message. Then he says, come. Come here, Benjamin. Benjamin, I love you. Come here, Judah. Judah, I love you. I love you, Judah. Judah says, I love you, Joseph. And he's hugging them. And then it says, and he talked with them. Can you imagine that? Would you like to have a tape recording of that? And he talked with them. What did they talk about? Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing. God has saved you. Jesus loves you that He might hug you, weep with you, and talk with you. Oh, what a fellowship. He loves you, and He wants fellowship with you. And why has He redeemed you? He wants more than servants. He wants you to know Him and love Him and fellowship with Him. There's the principle of communion. Now, here's the next principle. And it's the principle of compensation. This is an amazing principle. What is the principle of compensation? God saves us entirely by grace and then enriches us, supplies us for service. Notice now, beginning in verse 16, and the fame of Joseph was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, watch this, lade, boys and girls, that means load your beasts, and go and get unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come, and regard not your stuff. That's one of my favorite things in this whole thing. I read it in another translation, and it says your merchandise or your possessions, but I like the word stuff. Don't worry about your stuff. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. Underscore that. And to all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with the corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. Now he sends them out. He never mentions their guilt at all. It's blotted out. He now calls them brothers. He introduces them to Pharaoh. He says, King, I want you to meet my brothers. When I was reading this, I thought of a verse and I jotted it down. Hebrews 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call me his brother, to present me before the throne and say, Holy Father, this is Adrian, my brother. Oh, glory to God. This is Adrian, my brother. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. and the resources of the throne of the mightiest nation on the face of the earth is laid at their feet. And if they need anything, all they have to do is ask in the name of Joseph, and it will be given to them. What does that say to those of us who are saved? The Bible says the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon them. And he says, look, guys, I'm sending you out. I have commissioned you. Now, don't worry about your stuff. When are we going to learn that? Don't worry about your stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Colossians 2 verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. A preacher boy told me one time, he said, I believe God's called me to preach. He said, I need to go to school, but I don't have the money. I said, oh. I said, well, if I could find a very rich person who would underwrite you, would you go? Boy, his eyes lit up. He said, would I? I said, well, you have the one who owns the world, Almighty God. Listen, do you think God wants you to do something? God says, I just can't afford it. No. Behind any command of God is the omnipotent power of God and the infinite resources of God to carry it out. There's the principle of compensation. He says, you go and I'm with you. Whatever you need to get the job done, I will supply. Now here's the last and final thing. The principle of communication. Begin now in verse chapter 45 and verse 24. And he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And he went up out of Egypt and came to the, and they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine, oh, Jacob hearing this message? And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough! Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die. What is the principle of communication? How do we communicate? First of all, by our love. See to it that you don't fall out. By the way, don't get in some silly argument. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Listen, folks, the devil had rather start a church fuss than sell a barrel of whiskey any day. Did you know that? One of the greatest means that we have to convince the Jacobs of this world is by our love. And then not only by our loves, but by our lips. They told him the words of Joseph. We are to take the message. If you want people to believe, you've got to give them something to believe by our love, by our lips. But oh, here's the main thing, by our lives. Jacob didn't believe. It was too much to take in. But then he looked up there and he saw these wagons. Now these were paupers that went away. These were boys in famine. Good night. They've got all this wagon loads of stuff that Joseph had sent. And when he saw that, he said, I know these boys didn't do that by themselves. This is a true story. You see, listen, by our love, by our lips, and by our life. Do you know what's going to convince this world? When they see us united with wagon loads of God's grace. I mean, with wagon loads of God's grace. When they see something in us that they cannot explain apart from the good hand of God upon us. I long for that.
Do you communicate your faith in Jesus Christ with others by your love, your lips, and your life? When the world sees us united with wagon loads of God's grace, they'll be convinced of the gospel, just as Jacob was. Well, thanks for joining us today for this powerful message. Remember, as Adrian Rogers said, behind any command of God is the omnipotent power of God and the infinite resources of God to carry it out. What has God commanded of you? Tune in next time as we take a look at the final chapter of Joseph's life in God's presence in the hour of death. Hear it right here on Love Worth Finding.